Folks, this morning I'd like to encourage your hearts, knowing fully well that we've all been through another very, very hectic year, but for which we are very grateful to God because we are here to see the end of it, you know. You know, we were here last year, and unfortunately there are some who, either because it was due season or whatever, who started with us, but who are unable to close with us today. But we are here, and that alone is something for us to be grateful to God for. It doesn't mean that it's been an easy ride for us, that the year has all been a bed of roses for us. There have been pains, there have been hurts, there have been difficulties. For some, there have been challenges, there have been trials of different degrees and magnitudes. But hey, you are here, okay? Tell your neighbor, you are here, you're still here. And you see, for that, we ought to be grateful and thankful. Amen. But today, what I would like to share, when I was praying and I was asking God for, you know, for inspiration in terms of what He will have me share with people that will really bless people and make the experience of the coming new year, you know, a better one for people. And the Lord stirred my heart in the direction of peace, you know, peace. And that's what I'd like to share with you today. Shalom 2007. Shall we open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6? Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. And then we'll look at Luke chapter 2 verse 8. But first, Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. I'm reading from the King James Version. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth even forever. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I read from verse 8 to 14. Luke 2, 8 to 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Everybody say, all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel multitudes of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Everybody say peace. Say it again.
Peace.
Can I hear you say it louder?
Peace.
Peace, goodwill towards man. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for another opportunity we have in your presence to look into your perfect law of liberty. The Bible says the entrance of your word, it gives light and understanding to the simple. Open our eyes, therefore we asked this morning that we may behold wondrous things out of your law, that our hearts may be enlarged with understanding and illumination and revelation knowledge so that we can run in the way of your commandments. Father, teach us your ways, O God. Show us the way wherein we ought to walk. Guide our feet in righteousness for your name's sake. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, globalization, I'm sure you've heard that word. Advancement in technology, immigration, and so on and so forth. Some of them prehistoric phenomena, but which have become more obvious in the times in recent years and the times that we live in, have meant that the boundaries between nations of the earth have become sort of blurred, and what we call a vast world has now, in a sense, been reduced to what some have called a global village. So that what is happening in one corner of the world, which would in time past take you months or even years to hear about, much less affect you, have become things now that affect you straight away. So that a terrorist act in South America suddenly has an effect on you here in London. In the sense that you probably work for an organization that, because of globalization, has opened a branch in that part of the world. So the world is a small place now. We are all interconnected. And the impact of this, therefore, is that people have become fearful. Wars, suddenly, the war going on in Iraq, we are all concerned about it. Yesterday or day before yesterday, when the Iraqis were preparing to execute Saddam Hussein, everywhere, believe me, there was heightened security, even here in London. In America, all over the place. And you would have said in the time past, what did that have to do with me? Sometime this year, we saw this effect I'm talking about. In Denmark, a group of a newspaper published a magazine of Muhammad, the Islamic prophet. And the next thing we hear about is, and some of you are probably affected, was back thousands of miles away in Africa, in Nigeria, people were getting killed. Riots were happening in the town of Onitsha. People were being murdered. That's what the world has come to. It's such a small place that the actions, the activities, and the happenings around us are no more so distant from us that we cannot afford to be ignorant of them or turn a blind eye to them. The threat of a global pandemic because of Asian flu. All these things are happening. Natural disasters. We've had geologists prophesying about some kind of doomsday natural disaster, tsunami of some sort that will leave no one untouched. All of these things together is putting fear in the heart of people. This has been a very troubled year for the world. Very troubled year. I personally do not remember a time that the world has been this troubled on so many fronts. During the world war, at least it was one war. But there are just different war fronts going on. Even the so-called war on terror has become a monster now. The people that have been stereotyped as the enemy, the Muslim, even among themselves, all kinds of war fronts are opening up. It's just so crazy. It's like a free-for-all fight. Anybody and everybody is everybody's enemy. It's just so crazy and out of control. It's difficult for most people to know when they are going to become a target and what next is going to hit them. There is the threat of a global slowdown in the economy of the United States. And you know what they say, when America sneezes, the whole world catches cold. So there is a concern that if indeed the economy of America suffers a hard landing, it is going to have a knock-on effect on the economy here. and there may well be a downturn, and all this news, no thanks to technology, is hitting people's homes. People are hearing it day after day, morning, night, evening, noon, every time, and it is giving birth to fear in the hearts of people. Most of us today are asking ourselves, what is in store for the new year? Almost nothing is certain anymore. For some, you know the situation will work. You could turn the year and then, you know, you have a job now next year and, you know, something happens again due to globalization, they downsize and blah, your job moves to Asia or whatever. And it happens. And people are afraid. People are afraid. But listen, I feel that a season like this, and I'm so happy. I know many people argue that, you know, Christmas should have been in October or September and all that. But you see, I kind of personally, because of the way we as Christians, we know that God controls our destiny. I kind of appreciate the proximity of the Christmas season with the new year. You see, because it's so close that for me, they are not separate. Because with the coming of Christ was set in motion the system that would allow you and I to have a new beginning. And so coming so close to Christmas, it allows us to receive some of the blessings of the coming of Christ, and with that in our heart, enter into the new year. And one significance of the coming of Christ is peace on earth. Peace on earth. And so, I see this as a wonderful opportunity to share with you on this subject of peace. Because believe me, not only has it been a very troubled year, all indications is that it's going to get worse. Not a prophet of doom, I'm just telling you the truth. There's Bible prophecy to back it. It's going to get worse. There will be wars and rumors of wars. Things will get so difficult. So what should we do? Even Jesus said, he says, in the world you will have tribulations. He said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome. So the reality of challenges and difficulties that many of us have faced this year is there. And most of these people who speculate about what we can expect next year in the financial sector, in the economy, in terms of the threat to health and, you know, and more wars and violence and terror attack, they know what they are saying. They have investigated this thing. The trend is very clear. But for you and I thank God, our story can be a different one. Amen. We can sing a different song. We don't have to be in denial that there have been pains, difficulties, challenges, other things. The waters in which we operate are terribly troubled. We don't have to be in denial of that. It's a fact. But there is a greater truth that supersedes. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. Again. Verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and the coming of Christ himself was significant for peace. And that's why Isaiah calls him the Prince of Peace. But the world is at war. And there is no peace to the wicked, the Bible says. But Jesus came to make peace by reconciling the world to God through his atonement. He came to make peace by bringing the sinner to the state of peace with his maker. And that's where real peace begins from. The state of peace with your maker. Inducing the sinner to lay down the weapons of rebellion, to submit his soul to God and give him, and thus God can give him peace, which passeth all understanding. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not in meat or drink, in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now listen to me, folks. Peace has a very simple definition. It means well-being, rest, untroubled, to be undisturbed, to be unperturbed, to be unruffled. But listen to what I want to say this morning. That there is a clear distinction between peace as the world understands it and peace that God has come through Christ to offer to you and I, or the world. The peace we are talking about here. And it's important for us to understand this distinction if we will find peace as we go into the new year. According to John 14:27, Jesus was speaking, and listen to what he said. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." Now notice this. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The peace of the world is as follows. It is often marked by perceived absence of danger. Listen to this. The peace as the world understands it, as the natural man understands it, the man who has no relationship with God, the way he understands peace is that he always sees peace as being represented by a perceived absence of danger. So you live in an area where, according to national statistics, there has only been one armed robbery in the last 100 years. So your neighborhood is what? Peaceful. You have a hefty bank balance. So financially speaking, you have what? Peace of mind. No health problems. You had a checkup last week. Everything came back. Okay. You are fine. No one in your family is sick. Everyone likes you. Peace. That's the way the world understands peace. The perceived absence of danger. But it is false and a carnal security based on shallow alliance and often subject to sudden and unexpected destruction. First Thessalonians 5:3. Listen to this. Of this type of false peace, as the world understands it, Jesus had this to say. For when they shall say, peace and safety, he says, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. This was the kind of peace that the rich fool had. I'm saying these things both to warn you and to get you to place, to understand what the real peace we're talking about here is all about. Because for many of us, what we have accepted to represent peace will be shaken with time. They will be terribly shaken. And some of us are living dangerously. So, this is both a warning and a charge. You see, the rich fool had all that life, you know, a man's heart could desire. Good job. In fact, he was a business owner. He had money. And on a certain year, the grounds, the fruits of his ground, brought forth so much. He had nowhere to put it. He was in a dilemma. His cup was filled and what? Was running over. Now note something here. That the Bible does not give us any indication that his was an ill-gotten wealth. So we are not looking at a crook here. Somebody who got wealth by vanity. That we would say maybe the devourer, what he stole, he eventually had to give up. There was no indication about the character or the legitimacy of his wealth. And therefore, I feel we can make a safe assumption that his wealth was by labor. He had the ground, he tilled the ground, and he brought forth fruit. So we are not talking about a lazy man here who didn't work for his money, who just did 419 around the place, and at the end of the year his net worth had shot up. That's not what we are talking about. He was a businessman, hard-working person, diligent man. He labored. And the fruit of his ground brought forth. But something went wrong at a point. The Bible says he decided to expand his borders, to consume the produce. You know, I always tell people this. It's not every opportunity that comes your way that is for you to be seized to your own benefit. Sometimes the goods and opportunities that come our way are to be seized for the benefits of others. We are only stewards. And so he decided to lay up for himself and said to his own soul, now take it easy, rest, relax, and have your fill. And God saw things very different. He said to him, oh thou fool, tonight your soul is required of you. There was two things wrong with this man. Obviously, you could tell that he was not acquainted with the scriptures. And so, because if he was a man of the scripture, he would have understood from Proverbs 11:4 that riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Ecclesiastes 5:12 says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. But here was a man in whose eyes and understanding, carnal, material, flimsy carnal, material things that are subject to change, were the basis of peace in his own eyes. Understand and see that the God did not at any time put down wealth. He didn't say wealth, having wealth was wrong. He didn't say it's wrong to get wealth. As you continue to read that scripture, the parable of that rich fool, Luke 12, you will understand that it was his attitude that was the problem. The way the world understands peace is not the way God wants us to understand peace. Listen to this true story. A retired couple was alarmed at the threat of nuclear war. So they undertook a very serious study of all the inhabitable places on the face of the earth. And their goal was to find a place of ultimate security. Finally, they found the place. Everybody say, the place. And on Christmas Day, from the place, they sent their pastor a postcard from their new home, guess where? In the Falklands Island. A few weeks later, the Brits and the Argentines turned their place of ultimate safety into a battleground where it was not raining water but bombs. True story. Very true story. What is peace to you? What do you, if I say peace, how many of you want peace? But have you ever really asked yourself whether what you really want is money or peace? Because those are two different things. And I'm not here to talk about money. I'm not here to talk about everyone liking you. I'm talking about peace. They are two different things. Christ came to give us peace. And it's sad that we have come to equate peace and joy with material. That's why it says, listen, it says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink. The difference between meat, drink, and it says it's in righteousness, peace, and joy, is that righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost, these things are not material things. You see, meat and drink, they are so flimsy. They are perishable things. They are degradable materials. It's here today, it's not there. But in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy and is right and what? Pleasures. For how long? And so God is trying to win us away from the flimsy world of happy today, down tomorrow, Saturday, happy tomorrow. Yo-yo Christianity, where, you know, you fret today, you feel bold like a lion tomorrow, the day after, because, you know, as the stock market is going up and down, that's all your peace, all your investment. The stock market, today they said the FTSE 100 is down. Oh! How are you, brother? Oh, my peace has gone. Because your peace is in FTSE 100. It's important that we go into the new year with a good understanding of what the peace that God is offering us is. Because, believe me, all these things will be subject to change. You know, there's so much going on in the world now. We don't have control. We will not have control, no matter how much you pray and the anointing on your head. Because God has allowed, under this dispensation, that things should be like that. Believe me. The Spirit has spoken expressly. The word express there means without subject. There is no shadow of doubt. There is not subject to any doubt or any uncertainty. It's express, as clear as it can ever be. That in the last days, perilous times shall come. The times will be very difficult. Now that's the way the world understands peace. And I say to you that if your peace is based on carnal and material things, you are living very dangerously. Very dangerously. If you are looking forward to the new year, do so for the right reasons. Do so because God is going to stand with you and hold you and lead you into the new year. Not because you have a big bank balance. Not because you have a house. Not because everything is okay now around you. Nothing is troubled. How about the peace God gives? Now it's very different. The peace of God. He says, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The peace of God is very different in this sense. In that, unlike the peace of the world, it is not characterized by a perceived absence of danger, but by the presence of God. While the peace of the world says, I'm okay, because no known pedophiles or armed robbers live in my neighborhood. The peace of God says, flat number one is a lieutenant to Bin Laden. You understand what I'm saying? Lieutenant to Bin Laden. Flat number two, the guy who lives there, he's the founder and president, the inventor of 419. Flat number three. And you can continue to name it. All around you. But in your life, and when I mean your life, I don't mean in your car, the things that you own, the material things. In you, the real you, the center of you, your life, God lives in there. Amen. Listen to what Jesus said, because we just read that scripture. It's very subtle, but let me bring that distinction. It says, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. And then he does not begin to talk about material things. See what he talks about. He talks about what? The heart. He says, do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So while the peace of the world is understood within the context of material possession, tangibility, in our case, peace that God gives us is in our heart. It does not mean the absence of danger. You see, I had the story of a king who called two artists and he asked them, he said, illustrate peace for me. And so the first artist drew the picture of a very still and gentle sea. You know, pretty much no wind at all. And in the middle of that sea was a mountain sticking out. Very serene. The second artist did something similar but with a marked and significant difference. In his case, he drew a very troubled and boisterous sea and a mountain sticking out. And he did something very ingenious. Around the ravines of the mountain, he drew a small crack, and in the crack, he drew a little bird that was just sitting there still and sleeping. Which one of those paintings did you think the king accepted? The first one. Right. I see. You see, the first picture represented peace as meaning the absence of trouble. The waters were still. If the waters were still, what do you need a mountain for? That's hardly the truth. When Jesus was walking on water, the water was not still. When he was sleeping on that boat, crossing that river, the waters, the rivers were not still. In the real world where God has put us, there is turbulence around us. You know, I don't know where we get this idea that the world of a child of God should be all things rosy, everything is quiet. That's not what God meant by peace. Peace, the way God gives it, is that there is trouble all around, but God is in the midst of it. Do you know it said in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, it says, I will be with you in trouble. I tell believers, when you are in trouble, God is in trouble. It says, because I will be with you in it. He will bring you out, but he will be with you in it. We are not in a world where God is far away, somewhere distant in far away heaven, and then we are down here and we are in trouble, and then when we are in trouble, we have to notify him, say, God, I'm in trouble. Then he will look down and say, ah! He's in trouble, and then quickly they will run to the war room, call Angel Micah and say, what shall we do now? God is with you in trouble. Notice Jesus Christ. He depicts this very clearly. There was so much uproar around him. But he remained calm like that bird. He slept in peace. Not because there wasn't trouble around him. But he had what? The peace. Not as the world gives it. In the sense that his own peace, his heart was not troubled, neither was he afraid. That is where the treasure of peace that God is giving us lies, in our heart. Believe me, if God gives you peace in your heart, your boat may be rocking and shaking and quaking and appears to be sinking and everything. You will be able to sleep like a baby. That's why the Bible says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, though he eat little. Say, but the rich man who puts his trust in money, he can't even sleep. Because he's thinking whether there is another Mission Impossible attempt going on to steal his investment from the bank and things like that. He's concerned. And so he cannot sleep. But you see the poor man? He eats what he has. He gives thanks to God. And that's why Psalm says, I will lay me down in peace and sleep. Because thou make me lie and dwell in safety and thou sustain me. The time is coming, and it has perhaps been since last year. When every time you get on the train, you ask yourself. I remember when, shortly after September 11, I entered a train to go from, it was a place, I think, Farringdon to King Cross. It was just one stop. One stop. And this was one of those underground trains that, you know, would actually come up on the surface. So you can say the risk was significantly reduced, assuming anything happened and I had to make a great escape. But something happened. After the door of the train shut, I just suddenly realized, you know, typically after an incident like September 11, all kind of stereotypes flying and all of that. And, you know, I just saw this guy standing in front of me. Believe me, if I took a picture of him, I just, you know, blurred it a little and said, this is Bin Laden, you will have said yes. And I'm not exaggerating. To make matters worse, he was mean looking. And guess what? He had a small Quran in his hand. And he opened it and he was doing... One million thoughts went through my mind. The first was that, this is it. The man is saying his last prayer before he blows the bomb. You are finished. And the cloth he was wearing, you know, they were all wrapped. So if he had anything concealed, you wouldn't have been able. One stop from Farringdon on the surface to King's Cross. It looked as if I was traveling to France. I was helping the train driver to move the thing to the next stop. I said, move this train now. I'm saying, my man, why is this train so slow? Why is it so slow? I will never enter this train. And I was looking at, and he was looking. At a point, believe me, at a point, I said, okay, let's be rational now. What can I do? And I started to look at his hands. And I said, okay, the moment he drops that and he does something like this, I will give him a punch and disarm him. We got to King's Cross. I came out. I was sweating. I was ashamed of myself. I was like, oh my God, what was this? I was like, And you see, I just thought to myself, I said, this is how much danger and trouble is in our face. And, you know, we're so, the next thing you hear is there's this flu pandemic and you don't know where you're going to catch it from. You can't even go to a hospital now because the hospital have their own special gift. It's called MSRA. MRSA or whatever. Even the hospital that is supposed to cure you. Everywhere fear of some sort. Put your money in the bank, is the bank collapse? Everything. You see, there's just so much around. And you ask yourself, well, we can't leave, we can't run away. Where do you want to go? Where is safe today? Where is safe? Days before September 11, I was in the World Trade Center. I was there. Believe me, if you've ever been in those buildings, you would not be able to comprehend how anyone would have brought those two buildings down. I mean, this is massive steel structure and all of that. And this is a nation that is so fortified, the security, everything, the intelligence, they're supposed to. So where is safe? Thank God for the efforts of men. It is working. They are doing certain things. But I'm saying in the ultimate, we cannot put our trust in the arm of flesh. In fact, the Bible says, woe unto him. It's not a curse. It's just telling you what will happen.
Yeah.
If you put your trust in the arm of flesh, it's not a curse. It's not a curse. It will disappoint. So confidence in an unfaithful mind is like a broken teeth and a knee out of joint. When you need it to escape, that's when it will give way. Water will dry up behind the fish. After the fish has jumped. And you will land your belly on dry ground. What are we saying here? The peace that God gives is not about things on the outside making you secure and calm on the inside. It's about Jesus on the inside of you making you secure and calm on the outside. I told Jesus, the disciples were screaming, oh Lord, Master, don't you care that we perish? And he stood up and he calmed the sea. And the Bible says the disciples began to wonder among themselves, what manner of man is this? They said, ever say, peace beyond understanding. Say it, peace beyond understanding. I pray that God will give you unreasonable peace this new year. Peace that people around you won't be able to. Everybody will be running skelter, helter, helter, skelter all over the globe and fluorescent. And you will sit down there calm. And people will look at you, will appear to men to be unreasonable. They will not be able to understand you. Do you know why it's peace beyond understanding? The Bible, because that's what the Bible says he will give us in Ephesians, Philippians 4:11. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind in Christ. But listen, the reason why his peace passes all understanding is because himself, the Bible says he's a God who is understanding is unsearchable. And that's the kind of peace you want. I cannot promise you, and the Bible does not promise us anywhere, that we will now have a world that is different. If money is what makes people peaceful, where does it leave God then? Then let's all go after money and forget about God. The richest man will be the most peaceful. So we don't need God. That's the thing about the world's solution. It will always attempt to get things done
excluding God. But God's own solution by design will bring you back to God as the center that holds. It will force you back to God. You can't. And he's made sure that he says, the peace that I give, he says, my own peace is mine. I am the Prince of Peace. He says, the peace that I give you. He says, it's different. And I'm the one who gives it. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You have to receive me, and then I will give you that peace. Listen as I wrap up. So as God grants us the privilege to see a new year, are you going to allow fear, worry, and anxiety to ruin your new year for you? Are you? Are you going to allow anxiety, worry, and fear to ruin your new year? Are you, because of the challenges you have faced in this year, now so apprehensive and fretful about the new year that you're not even looking forward to it? Because you have this kind of deja vu outlook to it, you know, things will just continue as they have always been. I suggest to you and submit that that's not the attitude with which God wants us to go into the new year. God wants to give you peace in the new year. So that no matter what's happening in the news, no matter what's happening around you, no matter what has even touched you, your peace is not affected so long as it's in the heart. It can be if you allow it. So he says, do not let your heart be troubled. So there is a responsibility there. And I want to share with you quickly. Might not be able to go in depth, but some biblical tips that would help you to walk in the peace of God. So that 2007 will be for you a year of shalom. Everybody say shalom. A year of peace. Not as the world gets you to understand it, but the way God intended it. The kind of peace that will leave the devil frustrated because he will not be able to get through to you. The number one thing I would like to suggest to you is acquaint yourself with the God of peace. Everybody say, acquaint yourself with the God of peace. Let us read Job 22:21. Job 22:21. Now let me say something here quickly. Eliphaz was one of Job's friends who came around him to see him when they had about his predicaments, right? And we know at the end of the book of Job, God rebuked, was upset with the friends of Job, right? Because of certain things they said. Let me say this very clearly, that in certain respects, they spoke wrong, and in certain respects, they didn't speak wrong. The primary error of the friends of Job was that they carried out judgment on Job that was not true, was not right. You see, in their opinion, the reason why evil befell Job was because Job was an evil man and had sinned against God. And so they stood in God's stead to declare judgment on Job that, yes, it's your evil that has brought all this upon you. Like we, many of us do so quickly these days. When a brother goes through difficulty, oh, you have sinned. This has done your ancestors and all this and all that. And so God was upset. But if you take what Eliphaz said here, and you look at it in the light of New Testament teachings, you would accept the fact that he spoke the truth, though he applied it wrongly. Listen to this. Job 22 verse 21. It says, acquaint now thyself with him, thy creator, God, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto you. Romans 5:1 says this. Therefore, now, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For as long to be acquainted with God, this phrase, acquaint thyself, it means to dwell with, to be familiar with, to associate with. And it's from the idea of dwelling in the same tent or in the same house. And the meaning here is simply that of to secure the friendship of God. To be truly acquainted with him, to be reconciled to God. So therefore, being acquainted with God in this sense means two things. Or require two things, or implies that we have a correct knowledge of his true character. And that we are reconciled to him. A correct knowledge of his true character and that we are reconciled to him. Befriending God. You see, why is it that people prefer the tangible peace that the world offers to the peace? You know, why is it that if someone comes to you and say, I mean, in the scriptures, when you look at Jesus Christ, people who had problems and they came to him when he said, arise, take your pallet and go. People were less apt to accept that as something tangible has been done than if some kind of, you know, holy pandemonium happens and, you know, someone comes in and waves a magic wand and pours water on the ground and all that before people believe that something is really happening. Why? Because we don't know God. We don't understand how he operates. We are not acquainted with him. We don't know his ways. So we are more prepared to trust in the things we can touch, feel, see, and taste. It's a sign of our maturity. Acquainting therefore yourself with God means you have to, as you study and meditate upon the word of God, and you get to know him more and more. You see the heart of God towards you, concerning you. I mean, people are afraid to take things to God in prayer because they think God doesn't answer prayer. He's so slow. He's too tough. He's too difficult. We have negative things. Some of us are at war with God. We're at war with God. And there cannot be peace while we maintain war with God. Because the war against our maker. Where he has the control over your conscience, your intellect, your body, and all that can affect your welfare. How can you be at war with him? In our minds, many of us are at war with him. Even those who have accepted him as their Lord and Savior are still at war in their minds. And think that he's very archaic in his style and in his approach to things that God does not understand. Acquaint, befriend him. Get to know him. Get to know God. You know, so many times when people were afraid and troubled and disturbed and fearful in the Bible, do you know how people, Jesus quells their fear? By sharing certain aspects of God's character with them. Look at this, for example. In Luke 12, 21 to 31. Luke 12, 21 to 31. Look at what Jesus said here. Luke 12. He said, listen. Verse 22, sorry. He says, and he said unto his disciples, right? And this is after the story of the rich fool who had put trust in the things that he had and all that. And Jesus went to explain what, you know, why we should trust in God. Gives us a basis to pursue the peace of God against pursuing the peace that the world gives. And he said unto his disciples, verse 22, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Again, we are directed to act on our heart, our minds. Because that is where God delivers the peace that he gives. He said, therefore, take no thought for your life, what you will eat, neither for your body, what you will put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Peace in its real sense transcends all these material things we are holding on to and pursuing as if that is the answer of it. He says, consider the ravens. And now he begins to open us, introduce us. Say, well, if you think God will not take care of you. Now look at this, for example. He says, the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. And here you are. Think about how much you've sown this year. And you have paid your tithes. Assuming. And God is a just God. He does not owe any man anything. But these are ravens. The Bible says they don't even sow or reap. But look at it. It says, they do not have a storehouse nor bank. No bank account, no saving. They don't have any of that. It says, God feeds them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you taking thought can others add to his stature one cubit? He says, if ye be not able to do these things which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then, listen to this, if then God so clothed the grass which is so, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Acquaint yourself with him. As you befriend God, by exercising yourself in spiritual fellowship with him, through the study of the word, you rub minds with God, you will begin to see that there is no way, it does not make sense, that God will send his only begotten son to die to save you. Right? And after he has saved you, he will not provide for you to eat. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. Number two, desire and pursue peace. I'm wrapping up. Desire and pursue peace. Bible says in Psalm 34 verse 12, it says, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? It says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace and pursue it. Someone said, desiring peace does not necessarily ensure that you have it, but at least it does get you starting out somehow. Let me say that there are some people who, unfortunately, they just don't desire peace. They are troublemakers. Yeah. If you want peace, you must desire it. That's what it says. We are to seek peace, desire it, and pursue it. Some are known as troublemakers in their home, in their office, in the community. When they see them coming on the road like this, you will make U-turn where there is none, just to give him way to pass. But everyone knows that. In the church, you know, they are there everywhere. And you know, the Bible warns us about such people. It tells us what was operating. In James 3:14, it tells us what kind of, it says that kind of wisdom that is full of strife, envy, and all those. It says it's not from God. It's earthly, sensual, and devilish. But the wisdom that's from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, and easy to entreat. So, do you want peace yourself? There are some people who don't want peace because, you know, they say they want it, but they have, in the way they have behaved themselves, they haven't shown that they want peace. You see, where I come from, there is an adage that a child that says his mother will not sleep, that child will not sleep too. There are some people who want peace in their home, but they are troubling every member of their family. They trouble the wife, they trouble the children, they trouble the neighbor, they trouble everyone. And when everybody now is troubling them, they can't understand what's happening. They say, I take authority in Jesus' name. You are the trouble. As you go into this year, make up your mind that, look, I'm going to pursue peace. There's a lot of the Bible or scripture that tells us to pursue peace. As much as lying you, live peaceably with all men. Pursue all those things. Follow after the things that make for peace. Sometimes, even if something is your right, in the interest of peace, to bring peace between God and man, Christ had to sacrifice himself. He had to lay his life down. There is effort required here. He said, pursue. When you don't pursue by sitting down and crossing your leg, you put effort into it. Active effort. You stand up, you go somewhere. Someone, you know, has offended you, or you see trouble, potentially a relationship about to be, you know, affected. And you take preemptive action. You know what I said? You know he was angry about what you said. He hasn't said anything, but you can go and say, I think you may have been offended. Let me say it clearly. I didn't mean that. This is what I meant. And you just forestall peace. And that's how the world keeps rolling. But you sit down there, do your head bump and say, well, that's his own business. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. And you know, make effort for peace. Number three. I've got to move on. I'm running out of time. Number three. Keep your mind on the things of God. If there is anywhere in the Bible where we are promised a certain action will directly and definitely result in peace for us, it is here. It says, be careful for nothing. It says, don't worry about it. Yeah, they say there are terror there, there is disease everywhere, there is disease, this cannot be cured, all that. Jobs are going to be, you know, reduced next year. It says, be careful for nothing. But it didn't say you will not be in anything, because it says, but in everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. But then it goes on. It says in Philippians 4:8, it says, finally, brethren, what things soever are true, what things soever are honest, what things soever are just, what things are pure, what things are lovely, what things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and had and seen in me, do. And the God of peace will be with you. You have a responsibility. Remember Jesus said, he says, I give you peace. And this is how I give you. He says, not as the world does. He says, do not let your heart. The peace I'm going to give you is related to your heart. It's in the heart. It's not in things. He says, but you have a responsibility to keep your heart with all diligence. That's our responsibility. You have a choice on what you focus on. There's no way you sit. You know, if you're someone like me, you like documentary and news a lot. Sometimes you can have challenges there dealing with some of this thing. And that's an area that I've told myself, look, I need to exert myself here. You see, because we cannot continually subject ourselves to things that will make us think, you know, in a very negative way. We have a responsibility in that area, okay, to bring some sort of discipline around what we focus our mind on. And that's why he says in Isaiah 26 verse 3, he says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So stay your mind on him. You know, I'm not saying it's not good to watch TV or anything. You can't run away from the world. You are bound to see negative things. You are bound to hear. But make sure that you are not hearing more negative than you are hearing positive. So that the bottom line will be positive at the end of the day. After negative and positive have cancelled themselves, you still have some more positive left to run on. And then finally, listen to this. Pray for peace. Everybody say, pray for peace. It's important for us to recognize that the issues around
trouble, fear, worry, anxiety, and all this, do have sometimes some spiritual undertones. There are people who I know sometimes are just restless. Sometimes, not because of anything tangible, but they just disturbed. You understand what I'm saying? And God gives us opportunity by prayer to be able to deal with these situations. Listen to me. And the interesting thing is that the Bible also indicates to us that there is sometimes an interdependence, a sense in which even our own ability to fully walk and operate in peace depends on the people around us, how peaceful they too are. Now listen to this. In Jeremiah 29 verse 7, it says, seek the peace of all the city where I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall you have peace. Now listen to me. It is hard to ignore it when those around you are troubled. What do I mean by that? Jesus, when he was sleeping in that boat, he was not afraid of the wind. He was sleeping and enjoying his sleep. He was, as you could say, walking in peace. But the people around him, his disciples, his lieutenants, fear had consumed their heart. They were troubled. They were so afraid. Do you understand what I'm saying? And inevitably, his sleep, his peaceful sleep, was disrupted because the people around him were restless. You see, sometimes you think that God has given you one key for solving your own problem, and that you can afford to go and solve your own problem and not care about anybody else. But God is smarter than that. God will always make sure that at some point, the law of diminishing return begins to catch up with you if you refuse to care about others around you. Can you imagine if you become the richest man in the world, you have all the money in the world, nobody has anything else? At some point, that money will become useless. Because the way should show interest in the things of others. Amen. So the Bible charges us to pray. Not just for the nation where we live. We have a responsibility to pray for this country every day. Amen. To pray for those who are in leaders, who make policies, governmental policies that affect the lives that we live in this country. We have the responsibility to pray for our airways and our transport networks in this country. To pray for safety of the people who are traveling on it, whether we know them or not. Because remember, in the beginning as I read the passage, the peace that Christ came to give was for to all men. And so the Bible encourages us in 1 Timothy 2:1, exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayer, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This year, as you seek peace and pursue it, pray for those you know, those you don't know, people near and far, your country, your leaders, your nation, your church, your families, your friends, all men, that we may live a peaceable and quiet life in all goodness and honesty. You may have found peace yourself, but inevitably, your peace may be disrupted if those around you are troubled, so terribly troubled. And don't forget, as I said in the beginning, the world is now a global village. No more can you say, I don't care about what's going on in Brazil. I don't care about what's going on in India. I don't care. Let me tell you something interesting that happened. Last week, there was an earthquake in Taiwan. There was an earthquake in Taiwan. Do you know what happened? The earthquake caused underground IT technology, telecommunication cables in the ocean. Broke the cables. Do you know what happened? Most of you know that most of our IT support services now come out from India. Don't you know that? Okay. So the internet connectivity through to Asia was almost 100% completely severed. The little backup link that they had, the bandwidth was so bombarded with traffic that it was not even working. Now tell me. You now call Max and Spencer, you're trying to use broadband to call their help desk support. Max and Spencer, you're here in London. Unknown to you, the support center is based out in India. And now you can't get through. And what started it? An earthquake in Taiwan. We live in UK. You see what I'm saying? Small things. Far out there. That's how small the world is now. You can no more say, I don't care what's happening. So when pastor stands next year and says, we are going for a mission in India, don't say, there is enough mission field here in London. It's not like that. The peace is to all men. Do you understand? And where, if God says it's Brazil, we support it because God is saying it. Amen? God bless you. Stand up to your feet. As Apostle Paul was closing his letter to his second letter to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 3:16, he said this. He prayed this prayer for them. He said that the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. That the God of peace himself will give you peace always and by all means. The Lord be with you all. I want us to pray. I want us to pray for peace as we go into the new year. To me, that's perhaps the most valuable thing you can take into the new year. Peace. When God gives you peace, always and by all means, you are a winner all the time. It doesn't matter what's happening. There can be storms, rain, hail, come whatever. You are a winner all the time. You're on top. You're riding high. Your story will be that of, if God be for us, who can be against us? I want you to pray for yourself, first of all, that God, even that same prayer that Paul prayed for the church, that the Lord of peace himself will give you peace all day. Starting from the first second in January 1st, 2007 to the last second in December 31st, 2007. Every second of that new year, that the God of peace himself will give you peace always and by all means. Begin to pray now. Begin to pray. 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 That the God of peace himself, not things, not meat, not drink, not bank balance, not good health, but the God of peace himself will give you peace. Always. And by all means. Thank you, Jesus. Now I want you to begin to pray for your family and friends. Begin to pray for them. That we may live a peaceable and quiet life in all godliness. Begin to pray for this country. Lift up this nation, our leaders, those who are in authority. Pray for the leaders of this nation, particularly those who are just trouble-minded, who just like staying up trouble, that God will calm them down, that we may live a peaceable and quiet life in all godliness and honesty. Mm. Pray for peace. Pray for peace. Call upon the God of peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.